Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 4, chapter 8, verse 54. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manja Manjena Nena Devasya. Kuryajvarya Mahimbhura. Sapparyam vividir dvavyer Deshakala vibhagavit Manichis. Okay. Oh my Lord. Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya, unto the Supreme Lord. Vasudev. Manjena, that is hymn or mantra. Anena, this Devasya of the Lord. Kuryat, one should do. Dravyamayim, physical. Buddha, one who is learned. Sapparyam, worshipped by the prescribed method. Vividai, with varieties. Dravyai, paraphernalia. Desha, according to country. Kala, time. Vibhagavit, one who knows the divisions. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is the 12th syllable mantra for worshipping Lord Krishna. One should install the physical forms of the Lord, and with the chanting of the mantra, one should offer flowers and fruits and other varieties of foodstuffs. Exactly. Could you please, maybe if they don't talk, they just paint. Thank you. It's a bit distracting otherwise. Thank you. With the chanting of the mantra, one should offer flowers and fruits and other varieties of foodstuffs exactly according to the rules and regulations prescribed by authorities. But this should be done in consideration of place, time, and attendant conveniences and inconveniences. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm actually reading the purport by A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. It's known as the Dvadasha Akshara Mantra. This mantra is chanted by Vaishnava devotees and it begins with pranava or omkara. There is an injunction that those who are not brahmanas cannot pronounce the pranava mantra. Rajuva Maharaj was born a kshatriya. He had once admitted before Narad Muni that as a kshatriya he was unable to accept Narada's instruction of renunciation and mental equilibrium, which are the concern of a brahmana. Still, although not a brahmana, but a kshatriya, Juva was allowed on the authority of Narada to pronounce the pranava omkara. This is very significant, especially in India, The caste Brahmanas object greatly when persons from other castes who are not born in Brahmana families recite this Pranavam mantra. But here is tacit proof that if a person accepts the Vaishnava mantra or Vaishnava way of worshipping the deity, he is allowed to chant the Pranavam mantra. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord personally accepts that anyone, even one of a low species, can be elevated to the highest position and go back home, back to Godhead, simply if he worships properly. The prescribed rules, as stated here by Narad Muni, are that one should accept the mantra through a bona fide spiritual master and hear the mantra in the right ear. Not only should one chant or murmur the mantra, but in front of him, he must have the deity or physical form of the Lord. Of course, when the Lord appears, it is no longer a physical form. For example, when an iron rod is made red hot in a fire, it is no longer iron, it is fire. Similarly, when we make a form of the Lord, whether of wood or stone or metal or jewels or paint, or even a form within the mind, if you sit in front, you have to not move around too much. It's very distracting. And it makes me lose the focus. It's my fault, it's not your fault. So can you help me by being? Thank you. So, whether of wood or stone or metal or jewels or paint or even a form within the mind, it is a bona fide spiritual transcendental form of the Lord. Not only must one receive the mantra from the bona fide spiritual master like Narada Muni or his representative in the disciplic succession, but one must chant the mantra. And not only must one chant, but he should also offer whatever foodstuff is available in his part to the world according to time and convenience. The method of worship, chanting the mantra and preparing the forms of the Lord is not stereotyped, nor is it exactly the same everywhere. It is specifically mentioned in this verse that one should take consideration of the time, place and available conveniences. Our Krishna consciousness movement is going on throughout the entire world, and we also install deities in different centers. Sometimes our Indian friends, puffed up with concocted notions, criticize. This has not been done. But they forget the instruction of Narada Muni to one of the greatest Vaishnavas, Dhruva Maharaj. One has to consider the particular time, country and conveniences. What is convenient in India may not be convenient in the Western countries. Those who are not actually in the line of Acharyas or who personally have no knowledge of how to act in the role of Acharya unnecessarily criticize the activities of the ISKCON movement in countries outside of India. The fact is that such critics cannot do anything personally to spread Krishna consciousness. If someone does go and preach, taking all risks and allowing all considerations for time and place, it might be that there are changes in the manner of worship. But that is not at all faulty according to Shastra. Srimad Veera Raghava Acharya, an Acharya in the specific succession of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, has remarked in his commentary that Chandalas, or conditioned souls, who are born lower than Shudra families, can also be initiated according to circumstances. The formalities may be slightly changed here and there to make them Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that his name should be heard in every nook and corner of the world. How is this possible unless one preaches everywhere? The cult of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavad Dharma, and he especially recommends Krishna Katha, or the cult of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He recommends that every Indian, considering this task to be para upakar, or welfare activity, take the Lord's message to other residents of the world. Other residents of the world does not refer only to those who are exactly like the Indian Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, or like the caste Brahmanas, who claim to be Brahmanas because they were born in the families of Brahmanas. The principle that only Indians and Hindus should be brought into the Vaishnava cult is a mistaken idea. There should be propaganda to bring everyone to the Vaishnava cult. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. There is no bar to propagating the Krishna consciousness movement even among people who are born in Chandala, Malecha or Yavana families. Even in India, this point has been enunciated by Srila Sanatan Goswami in his book Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is Smriti and is the authorized Vedic guide for Vaishnavas in their daily behavior. Sanatan Goswami says that as bell metal turn gold when that was a long paragraph, so I'll just summarize a little bit the story here. It's still the story of Dhruva Maharaj. He's a great grandson of Brahma, so the connection is very, very close. His father is Uttanapad, and yeah, we all know he was trying to climb on the lap of his father, but Suruchi, his the co-wife, is Godhead. Then you will have the good fortune of taking birth from my womb. Meaning, Dhruva is so hurt and angry, but he's also a small child. And what do children do? When they are faced with bullies, they run to their mother, to their parents. And he's asking his mother what to do. Insult not only to Dhruva, but to herself. And her heart is burning with sorrow, but she also doesn't know what to do. So she takes up that instruction of what is fulfilling all desires. And she also is backing that statement with Mubha Manu, God happiness. It was by worshipping and satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also one very interesting behavior of Suniti. She's an underdog of what Suruchi told him. And when she hears what the palace attendants tell her, how the king didn't care, she tells Dhruva not. She has such a generous, forgiving heart that she doesn't wish that kind of person in this way. We normally his mother, go to the forest, go and see the boy. His termination is so the lineage is not so long. His first reaction is that he's only a boy doing this path of self-realization to find God. So why don't you go home? You do what Dhruva, again, he may be a child. Well, then happiness in distress is completely equipoised. He's not thinking of the past. And he tells Narayana, your instructions are good by me. But that's also an indication for us to be honest with ourselves and under progress. We cannot make progress from the forgetting to know ourselves. One of those. And to be able to do that in the world, we take the words in a few words in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a gradual process, external purification. Austerity gives him the mantra, and that's the verse where we are right now. He gets the mantra. Now, in the first part, Prabhupada mentions in the first paragraph that the mantra is given to anyone who is to meditate on that particular form of the Lord. And that instruction is particular to Dhruva Maharaj. Is meant for him. Now, in our case, we're living in the Kali Yuga. Our mind is turbulent, wild, whimsical, more difficult to control than the wind. And to imagine a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead while we're doing our japa would most of the time be to satisfy us. He would be the object of our worship. It would be, we are making him the object of our senses. Sorry, not worship, senses. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says there's no need to imagine anything when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. For us, in this Kali Yuga, the way to clean, because first we understand Dhruva had to go through a cleaning process. For us, the way to clean ourselves so as to attain that qualification, it is through chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is no cleaning the mirror of the consciousness so that who is being reflected in the mirror? I, the soul. And who else? The super soul. So then I understand that sambandha, how it's working. And then the rest starts to follow. Baha Mahadavagni, the cessation of the fire of conditional life. Once I start to understand who am I, what is my actual real nature, I start to detach from this material world. And so the first verse of the Kshishashtakam actually explains the purpose of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's the life of all transcendental knowledge. Whatever I am reading, whatever gyan I am looking for, at the end of it, there is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, who in this Kali Yuga is the mantra to attain the supreme goal. We have to understand who is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He's a person. He is living consciousness. He is not just a bunch of words brought together by sentiment. He is an actual living person, but how do we perceive is depending on our own willingness and greed and surrender. That surrender will come from faith. The only thing that we have that can reach over to what is spiritual is faith. There's nothing else. Because faith is outside of ourselves. Faith goes beyond the boundaries of our experience. Faith is something we are unsure about. Faith is something we don't know. Faith is trusting in the unknown. It is bigger than anything we know. It is very large faith. So when we have faith, spiritual practices start. Ado, Shraddha, with first is faith. So if we are lucky, we come to the right process. So what would make us lucky is Sukriti. We have heard of Agnata Sukriti. Somehow or the other, we did that right action that gave us that adhikar. When we come, we are concerned. She is the wife of my cousin, and I met her. And I was like, oh, yeah, so what are you doing? And she said, well, because we were born in Mauritius, Madhava and me, and so every year we go to Mauritius to spend some holidays, so this is where we meet our family members. And she told me that every year there's a sadhu who comes from India, and he's giving spiritual guidance for 1 hour. And so I get up whenever I want, and I feel peaceful. And then she looked at me very earnestly, and she said, tell me, am I on the right path? And I just looked at her. I was speechless. I could not say anything. Lucky somebody started to speak to me, so I didn't have to say anything. I couldn't say anything. Maybe I should have said something, or you're being cheated, but this time isn't right. Arjuna also asked Krishna, what makes that a man acts piously and another one acts impiously? What is it? And Krishna says, that those who have acted piously in the past and in the present, they actually take to this process. So faith, so we are happy. I mean, we are actually maybe, you know, we have some good security that we are sitting here. But faith goes beyond that now. Once we have this faith, latest iPhone, and then we get it, and then somehow it doesn't work so well, and we can go back and say it's not working, it's on the level of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. That's the only effort that we can put. The reciprocation doesn't depend on us. That depends 100% on Krishna. You are the right to your duty, but not to the results, it tells Arjuna. So, and we have been in this material world for so many countless of lifetimes. We have taken on sanskaras from countless of lives. It's all like dropping like, where is the result? And we just keep dropping, might take a few lifetimes. Then us call it. That will lead us to devotees. Is by engaging us in Krishna's service as bhajan, bhajanakriya happens. Then comes our service, prasada seva. When that comes, we'll either we continue or we will stop. How can they act in such a The acharyas have given them to us for a purpose. The self-realized soul, they see the spiritual world. And just as the sun rays are extended to our mundane vision, in the same way, they bring the spiritual world to us and they leave behind the process how to get there. How to get there is based on austerity. Why? That we don't know. It's hard for us to understand. When we read even the last part of Uddhava Gita, Krishna is telling him, so now you make your way north and you take upon yourself austerities, dress yourself with the two marks. And when I read that, I'm like, but how does that help? When I first joined, you know, we fast for Gaur Purnima, we fast for Janmashtami. I was thinking, we are finite, infinitesimal. It's amazing. Yet we think we are the body, so how much did we puffed up? You know, we puffed up so much. Small portion, but we want to give to Krishna is even smaller. So how insignificant is our service? We need to approach Krishna. The Prabhupada says, so when we go to Krishna, we tell Krishna, I am so fallen, I am so rotten. Please accept it. And then he could talk with Krishna. We cannot do that. There has to be some utsaha. Find when the day comes when it gives us a little thrill when you hear the name Krishna. And we pray for that particular day. So even if we do not get the thrill, let us not force it. That would be very dangerous. We understand the theory of it. We understand the concept of it. So when we do whatever service we're doing, it's in the hope of one day that will come. So we do it in a conscious manner. We are not going through motions automatically. Guests came up to the temple now on Jagannath, because we are in Switzerland, we have Bonita and Jagannath Valley of Subhadra. And offering is at 6:40, and it goes 6 o'clock. And she also goes, oh, it was hanging, it was actually bothering Jagannath. You should have trusted that Krishna is time. Instead of going through the motions automatically, I should have gone. Well, there are things that we learn. So in the same way, we have to be in sync with Krishna's desire enough to know how to act, even in the service that we're doing. And who wants to have a relationship with a robot? No one. Is with my consciousness
In that service, I am present there. It's a very popular thing these days, that New Age people like to say, be present in the moment. There's a reality to that. It's difficult to do that. To be here, present, without thinking of what am I going to do later? Or what? Why did I do that? I should have done something else. Without being in the past or in the future. But to be just in the present. Very hard. So if we can do whatever service we are doing with that consciousness that I am present right now, it's a huge battle for us. That we can try. That would be controlling the mind and the senses. So in the beginning, we understand how that devotional process is actually technical. It has nothing to do with sentiment. Where does the word sentiment come from? Senses. Sensational. So we are looking, always looking for that thrill for the senses. But that will not work with spiritual life. It never does. When Arjuna told Krishna, let me go, let me go to the forest, I'm not going to kill them. They are my worshipable elders. Krishna is not impressed. He says, you, your duty, you speaking learned words, but they are actually fools. Do your duty, go and kill them. This is what Krishna values most is the duty that we have to do. And hopefully, when we do it with the right attitude, the right mentality, it will lead from Vaidhi to Raganuga Bhakti, where we start to find some reciprocation in that service. We have to understand what is form, what is substance in every single service that we're doing. Going through the motion is the form. The substance will only come from our heart. And that, no one can do that for us. No one. Our journey to Krishna is individual. That's why, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada mentions a bona fide guru is so important. Because he connects. Not only he connects, Prabhupada's choice of words are very, very precise. What does he say? Transparent via media. He's connecting us to all the parampara, all the way to Krishna. Prabhupada says in few places, Guru is one, one in instruction. There is no my Guru, your Guru. Guru is one because he's a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is very important to understand how it works, not to go just through the motion of that external form. And that we can understand when we read. And whatever we read, the realization comes to us in an individual way. Krishna is a person. The Maha Mantra is him directly. Not words put together like we mentioned before, but living consciousness. He is infinite. We are so finite. We, that small infinitesimal part, offering our even smaller service, are trying to acquire the big whole. It's preposterous. How is that even possible? He will come to us when he wants it. We cannot see Krishna. That's why we take darshan. But this is another Saraswati Thakur says very clearly. We are seeing, we do not see. What I see is statues. Because if I would see, I would see pastimes. What is Jagannath doing? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to see pastimes. This is my seeing. But we understand in theory, the Acharya tells us, here, the deity is that who is called Kalagraha and Shirigraha. He's talking to, if we treat him as stone, he will Krishna himself. And so we have to put heart in every single thing we do. Because Prabhupada also mentions in that lecture, if we do not We will think the old man has left a burden for us. Our spiritual life is guided by our spiritual master. So it's 8:30. I will stop here if somebody has questions or wants to add something.
You're saying that we shouldn't be sentimental in serving Krishna, but at the same time also we should have emotions.
It's different, right?
So how differentiate?
Sentimental is based on the senses. Emotions is something a bit different. It's more something coming from the heart. Like, let's say it's Janmashtami, and everybody goes to sleep very late. But the pujari is still, if he slept at 1 o'clock in the morning, he has to get up early to wake up the deity. And he doesn't want to do it. And oh my God, but Krishna is waiting, I have to do it. So if he thinks in a way that I'm different from sentimental, from thinking, anybody? Yes. Yes.
I was just going to say, sentimental is a bit more self-instigated, so when you choose to have set emotional experiences, that's a bit more sentimental. When you're emotional, you're a little bit more open to external influences.
Yeah, right. I remember that. Thank you so much. So, sentimental is self-instigated most of the time. That's why senses, depending on us, our senses. Emotional is more open to a bigger picture. And this is what instigates our actions. It's not coming from us, it's coming from the external that makes us move. And, I don't know if this is satisfying. Someone else has. Yes, Prabhu?
Today is Sunday, we normally go to 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Did
you also know that it's also an exchange, yeah, right? I just continue a little bit. So when we're hearing about Krishna cannot be approached by jnana. Krishna cannot be approached by goals and relations. Right? We know that. Anatta Nivritti. And on the platform of Anatta Nivritti, we start to understand that when we're chanting the holy name, if it's actually doing anything for us or not. And here we have to be so. Going to this person here. But when it is taking so long to happen, we try to examine ourselves. Why is it taking so long? There's so many qualities that are described of a devotee. Why am I not there? For that Krishna to be Krishna, Krishna has to be present there. When we utter the name Krishna, when we chant Hare Krishna, we can hardly change ourselves, right? Most of us. When Prabhupada sits down and chants Hare Krishna with a couple of people in Tompkins Square Park, he changes the world. So definitely my qualification is very much important there. And I understand it is saying, we have to understand the quality of that chanting. It means in that chanting that I do, that will actually make that kind of effect, Krishna is personally present. And when Krishna is personally present, I don't act normally. When Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who appeared to be a materialist from outside, right? We know the story. His hair was well oiled, long hair he had. He would wear silk dresses, flowing, different colors. He was perfumed. He put a lot of perfume on himself.
when he would sit with attendants, attendants would walk behind him, you know, a bit like a king carrying his train, you know, fanning him. He would sit, he would have water pots around him, brass water pots. He would be talking to you and looking at himself, his reflection in the water pots. Would anyone want to be with such a person? I'm sitting down and talking to a person who's always going in the mirror and looking at himself or herself. I would say, Haribol, maybe I'll see you later. It's so narcissistic. And of course, he threw doubt in the mind of a couple of devotees. And then when Mukunda Datta took the name Krishna, he became like a madman, thrashing around. All the water pots went flying. His nicely old hair went all over the place. His garments were torn. But that is the reaction we get when we understand Krishna in that name, Krishna. It comes back to the same point. We are so infinitesimal. All we can do is try on our level and honestly offer that to Krishna in humility. That would be Chinalabhi Sunichena. Before Chinalabhi, what comes? Namama Kari Bahuda Nijasava Shaktish. We have hundreds and thousands of names. This is true for most of us. But I'm so unfortunate, I'm so Yudaiva, I have no attraction for any one of those names. I change my rounds and I'm relieved when it's over. And Prabhupada says, hence, because we have no attraction, hence the rule and regulation chant 16 rounds. Because we have no attraction. And we hope one day, it starts very slowly, you know. You know, maybe when we first join, it's on and off. But then we keep doing it, even though we don't have the attraction, but we trust in the words of the acharyas. So we keep doing it. So 15, 20, 30 years down the line of constant practice, if we come, you know, a particular day, we haven't finished our 16 rounds, we would feel incomplete. That's already a huge reciprocation from Krishna himself. That attraction is not going to come from us, it's going to come from him. His name is Krishna, the all-attractive. He's supposed to attract us. We have to work for it. And if we can understand that at every step, especially when we are in front of tests. You know, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, or when we first preach to people. Just chant. You don't have to change anything, especially in the Western countries. No. It's a reality, a little bit more to the spectrum of Indians, because being born in a Vedic culture, it's not a big deal for an Indian to follow the four regulative principles. There's no surrender there. So it's not a big deal. But for a Westerner who is born amidst all those, and to keep that up, that's a huge deal. That is surrender. And this earns our respect. Because not only they give it up, they change the way they dress, what they eat, what they worship, how they worship. That's a huge deal. So that surrender for all of us will always be individual. And that is something that is not seen by us mortals. In the sense of two people come to the temple, one gives $1 million, another one gives $100, definitely we will give the $1 million man the plate of Mahaprasadam, the big garland, you know, we will be there around the person. But then maybe we find out the $1 million man had 10 million, the $100 man had 200. So who surrendered here? Krishna is looking at surrender, which means give up, not give. Mortals like us, we see the give part. We don't see give up part a lot of times. That's our problem. And you see, that's some other point.
The only thing that would actually attract Krishna is complete surrender. There is no other way but that complete surrender. For all of us, we will have to know, we will have to judge what is that complete surrender. Again, you know, I mean, we're sitting in a temple here. We are not with beginners. Yesterday we had a program with real beginners. And we're not going to speak about complete surrender. We just say, whatever you do, you don't have to change anything. Like Prabhupada thought when he would come to America, he would just tell them, just add Krishna to your life. This is what he told them actually in the beginning. Krishna is the one. Everything is zero. Krishna is the one. Just add him to your life. Don't change anything. And Yamuna Devi, we were with her 3 weeks before she left the planet. She told us, yeah, Prabhupada actually tricked us. Because Prabhupada said, just add this Krishna to your life and your life will be completely happy. But it wasn't. Add Krishna to your life and everything changes. Just by adding Krishna to your life, there's a change there. And so when we're sitting in a temple, of course we can, the expectation is different. Because when we first come to spiritual life, the four people who come to spiritual life is basically for their own benefit. I'm curious, I'm in distress, I'm in knowledge, I want to know more about the Absolute Truth. What's the other one?
Wealth.
A need of wealth. Oh, that's the big one. Need of wealth. So it's basically for our own benefit. When we start spiritual life, also it's for our own benefit. I want to get purified. I want to be able to do my service well. It's all I need in mind. But when does it come? You can do whatever you want with me. You kick me. You embrace me. You are my Lord, birth to birth. That is the last verse of the Shastakam. After having gone through the two major verses, Chinala Pisunichina and Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. These are the key verses. Without dealing with those two, we will never come to Ali Nanda Tanuja King Kara. I am your servant. We will not come to that. Because to be the servant of God is not just a matter of the external form like we were talking about. Just coming to the temple and just doing the motions. Prabhupada says in a lecture, in a few lectures actually, I've heard Prabhupada say, first we try to know Krishna. We try to understand Krishna, who he is. And Krishna talks about himself in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada says he's not talking about the gopis in the Bhagavad Gita. What is he saying? From me comes this material world, this spiritual world. I am the source of everything. You are my Amsha Jiva Loke. You are such an Amsha. And you are Manashastra Indriyani. You are struggling so hard with the mind and the six senses. Raja Vidya Raja Guryam. This is the king of knowledge I'm going to give you. It's secret. But there it is for everyone. But I will explain it to you. Many births. You and I have passed. You have forgotten Arjuna, but I have not forgotten any one of them. And Krishna is talking about himself. And Prabhupada says, at the end, if we are fortunate, then we surrender to Krishna. So we understand what is surrender, the real one, that is coming from the heart, with substance. Surrender comes from knowing Krishna. We start with chanting, and we start, then we continue with the association of devotees and service. We try to put emotion in that service like we talked about. That's utsaha. Just the fact of getting up and doing something we don't really want to do because we are tired. Actually, there's one interesting story, one girl I knew, just like any one of us, you know, we were in the temple, living in the ashram. She would do the service that she would do, and she would always do something extra every single day, whether she was tired or not. And once one of the other girls asked her, but you're so tired, why are you doing that extra service? And she said, you know, Krishna knows how much I have to do. But he doesn't know how much I want to do, you know, beyond that boundary that he doesn't know. That's why I'm doing it. So let us not make devotional service become a job for us. A job and a career. I join a temple, I do all the proper motions. Oh, nice time for me to get initiated. Oh, now I get Brahmana. Nani Brahmachari, what should I do? Initiation? No, it's been 20 years, sannyas. It's just a career after a while. Let us not make it like that. Let us put the substance in there. That substance would be that little bit of extra that Krishna doesn't expect. You know, I always thought, now it's 10 to 9. Maybe for 10 minutes if anybody wants to add something. Yes, Prabhu.
Well, not so much had, but a question. Today we have a kirtan. So I've seen many a times in the kirtan, they normally start softly and then go louder and louder. So when they're chanting softly and then they say, now it is louder, I can follow that instruction and start chanting louder. And after some time they say, little more louder, and I can do that.
Yeah.
But after that they say, now start chanting from the bottom of your heart. And then I'm lost, I don't know what to do.
It means be present when you're there, when you're chanting that name. Because we go so many times, we're just going through the motions again. I'm just chanting automatically. So many times we've chanted in kirtan. I don't know if I mentioned that last year here. One of the times we were in Ukraine, when Govinda Maharaj was making kirtan, and the audience was singing three Hare's at the end. The whole time, the whole 2 hours of kirtan, three Hare's. Even louder, it didn't matter, it was three Hare's. Now chant with your heart. It means, hear what you're saying. Be present there. Don't just go to the substance. Not just the form, the external form. That's the meaning of chant with the heart. Not just go through the motion of automatically parroting the Maha Mantra. And louder, why? Because, again, it's not just something we make up, right? It's something, Advaita Acharya, when he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come down, what was he doing? Worshipping. Loudly. It takes effort from us to actually chant louder. It's much easier to sit down and just kind of meditate and just, again, just go in that groove of our comfort zone. We have this tendency so much. We need to be shaken almost all the time. Why? Because this body is dull matter. And Prabhupada says we are very powerful, but this body is suppressing us. That dull matter suppresses us. So from the bottom of the heart, chant with your heart, always mean, let me listen to what I am saying. Let me listen, pay attention to the lead singer. Maybe the lead singer is singing a melody I know, but in a different way, but I will sing it in the way that I know, which is also wrong. Let us follow. Does it answer your question? Oh, just keep singing, maybe it will come. With purification, we'll understand what it is. You know, one time, one devotee told Prabhupada, I mean, a new person, Prabhupada, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I feel I'm in eternal and I start to see a light at the end of the tunnel. And Prabhupada says, just keep chanting, it will go away. So, you know, if you can observe, if we can observe ourselves, to actually hear what we're chanting requires effort. It's like the japa mala. To hear what we are chanting requires a lot of effort. One round of japa with that effort of bring my mind to the mantra, bring my mind to the sound vibration. Who is Krishna himself? After the one round, it's like we have run 1,000 kilometers. It is so exhausting. That's why it's much easier, I parrot. So chant with the heart would mean let me be present here. Bring my mind to the sound vibration. Bring my mind to the sound vibration. Arjuna says, because his mind is whimsical, turbulent, wild, more difficult to control than the wind. But Krishna says, it's possible. Practice and determination. I don't have any more esoteric explanation. It comes from you. No, there is no formula there. We have to do the work. Yes?
I find it helpful when I'm chanting to make sure that I can actually feel the physical sensation. So sometimes when I'm chanting, I'm trying to distance myself. And so that's like having one finger on the washing machine that's vibrating. So the vibrating would be the Hare Krishna mantra that I'm trying to say. And I've got one finger on the washing machine. But then when I put more fingers on it, or more of my hand on it, by noticing and trying to apply whereabouts in my throat it's vibrating, is it vibrating in other parts of my bones? And that's when I notice that the chant is actually perceivable just as regular backwards and forwards movement in various other places in my body. And that then starts to link in with the stuff that's happening in my mind whilst I'm chanting. So it's like I'm actually touching more of the actual sound vibration. And that's just a...
Okay, whatever works for anyone. You know, if this devotee here says that he uses a washing machine to create a tangible impression of the Maha Mantra. I know in Switzerland when the Brahmacharis would go out and Sankirtan, they would put buckets on their head to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra so as not to see and be distracted. So, because they would be in the van, you know, they would go on Sankirtan for a few weeks. And so, put buckets, whatever works. It's individual, again. Do it. So I think we'll stop here because we have to set up. Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'm going to Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to Srila Prabhupada.